Chapter 2. Science, History, and Vocabulary of Chlorine Dioxide. What it is called and where it is sold. Chlorine dioxide has been around for over 100 years since its discovery. It is made from the raw chemical called sodium chlorite. It has a nickname of MMS, which stands for a few different variations of what it has been called. Miracle Mineral Supplement, or Miracle Mineral Solution, or Malaria Mineral Supplement, or even Master Mineral Supplement are some of these names. For the purpose of this book, I will refer to it by the chemical titles of chlorine dioxide, ClO2, the molecular symbol, or just CD for short. CD is made when you mix a mineral salt called sodium chlorite, the molecular symbol for it is NaClO2, with some kind of weak acid. When I say mix, what is really happening is what scientists called activating of NaClO2, so that it transforms the chemical compound. The mineral salt of sodium chlorite is either sold in a white flake form as well as in a liquid. It is not table salt, though. That is sodium chloride, with a D-E, or NaCl. You can buy sodium chlorite, or the NaClO2, dry flake material online on eBay for about $30 a pound, but prices may vary by size and the seller. If you buy it dry, it is usually in a sealed plastic pouch and is sold at an 80% tech grade. In liquid form, it is sold on Amazon.com or eBay for about $20 to $50 for a 4-ounce bottle. Typically, it is sold in liquid form coupled with another bottle of the activator acid. The label on these bottles will say something like water purification kit or MMS. I explain later in the book why it is labeled this way. Here are a few key notes below to help remember some of the vocabulary terms that are used with chlorine dioxide. So I have some just this equals that on this page. Sodium chlorite, which is also known as NaClO2 or nicknamed MMS in liquid form, that is the dry white flakes or liquid raw ingredients used to make chlorine dioxide. If you mix sodium chloride liquid with a weak acid, you get chlorine dioxide, or what is also called activated MMS. Chlorine dioxide can be in gas or infused in a liquid. In this book, I refer to it as the following, and I list it again. Chlorine dioxide, ClO2, CD, or activated MMS, and sometimes I'll use the term CDS, which I will clarify the differences with all of these. If you have sodium chlorite, NaClO2, in your home in the dry flake form, it is good to keep it out of sunlight, keep it dry, and enclosed in an airtight glass jar so that it doesn't get wet. Dry NaClO2 flakes last for years if kept like this. If you have it in liquid form, keep it in a dark place, where it can be stored for a year or more. I've heard of people storing it in the refrigerator for 4 years, and it was still fine. Be sure to stir the liquid before using it so the chemical hasn't settled at the bottom. The first 6 or so minutes of this video link, which is linked to the PDF version of this book, it explains more about the chemical properties of NaClO2. The magic of sodium chloride is when it becomes activated with a weak acid. Acid types could be citric acid, lemon juice, vinegar, hydrochloric acid, or others. It could even be the digestive acids in your stomach. As I mentioned earlier, activation is when you mix the two parts, one is sodium chloride and one an acid, and you get a chemical reaction that changes the chemical composition of the mineral salt into something very different than what you started with. Activating also puts a lot of molecular energy into the mixed product because of the reaction. For the sake of this booklet, we typically mix liquid sodium chlorite, which is NaClO2, that is about at a 22.4 to 29% potency within that range. We add it with hydrochloric acid, which is at about a 4 to 5% potency, and that's where you get chlorine dioxide. Chlorine dioxide is the amazing material that this whole book focuses on, at least with the early chapters. There are other acronyms that you may read about that people use, like CDS, chlorine dioxide solution, CDI, which is chlorine dioxide intravenous. And the reason why I keep going through the titles over and over is just to kind of let it settle into your understanding of what the labels are and what the titles are for these. Chlorine dioxide is actually a gas which spreads out in the air when released. It has a yellowish, greenish color if it is condensed enough in the air. It kind of stinks though, so try not to inhale it, especially at higher levels of concentration. It has a strong smell, like chlorine for a swimming pool. However, it is not literally chlorine because it is bonded with other atoms that change the makeup and qualities of it. Kind of like how salt, NaCl, is made of the chlorine atom, but it isn't chlorine either. CD gas enters very easily into water and can be mixed and transported that way. If you put 1 cup full of chlorine dioxide liquid next to a cup of normal water in a small enclosed cooler overnight, both cups will have equal amounts of chlorine dioxide in them by the next day. That's how easily it enters into the water, but it is not bonded with the water molecules. It's just mixed in with the H2O. Some people don't understand chemistry very well and think that chlorine dioxide is the same as Clorox bleach. If they say that, then they don't understand the difference between sodium chlorite and sodium hypochlorite. If they bring that up, you could refer them to a molecular chemistry textbook or a periodic table of elements so that they can study the differences. Just to be clear, sodium hypochlorite equals Clorox bleach, which is used in municipal drinking water. That's why you can taste it when you drink from the tap a lot of times. Lemon juice equals lemon juice bleach, which is the same as what you can use to bleach your hair or make lemonade to drink. And chlorine dioxide has bleaching qualities, and it's also used in some municipal drinking water systems. So when people say, "Are you drinking that bleach water?" you can answer them by saying, "Yes, we all are when we drink from the tap." In some industries, chlorine dioxide is used to bleach things. It works great. This is because of the capabilities of it when it helps to lighten the color on fabrics or hair or paper without destroying the strength of it. Another word for this type of bleaching is called oxidation. Some people think that this makes it dangerous. However, you can also bleach things by using lemon juice, honey, sunlight, vinegar, cinnamon, salt, and even baking soda. Chlorine dioxide will bleach things like fabric or paper when it's mixed in high concentrations. However, it is preferred because it doesn't damage the fibers that it bleaches. And again, that's chlorine dioxide does not damage the fibers that it bleaches the way that sodium hypochlorite does. It just lightens them up. Clorox bleach, which is sodium hypochlorite, damages fibers as it bleaches. Many cities use chlorine dioxide to treat their water for drinking, while other cities use sodium hypochlorite for their drinking water. Chlorine dioxide is considered a little more expensive for water treatment, but it has no known cancer-causing products. Sodium hypochlorite, which is Clorox bleach, does create some dangerous byproducts called trihalomethanes when it comes across certain biofilms in the water pipes, which makes it bad for your health. So just in case I may have misspoken that, I just want to clarify that sodium chlorite is used to make chlorine dioxide, which is used to disinfect water, and it's a safer way to do it as compared to sodium hypochlorite, which is Clorox bleach. But that is also used to disinfect water, and it's in our drinking systems. The real key with safely using chlorine dioxide is to make sure that it is diluted enough to not be harmful. People have been taking chlorine dioxide as a drink safely for decades in this way. Brief history. CLO2 discovery, the 1980s and the 1990s, and on to today. Chlorine dioxide was first discovered by a scientist named Sir Humphry Davy in 1814. It was a really cool discovery because it not only killed harmful viruses, germs, fungus, and parasites, it was also an excellent odor remover. Just put this gas in a smelly room or dirty liquid, and it removes the smell, it kills the bacteria, the fungus, and even the parasites in the liquid as it does its work. Now, don't stay in the room when you're putting this smell there, though. It is strong stuff. Within 2 to 6 hours after putting this gas in the room or a liquid, the chemical has done its work and typically cleared out the bad stuff. Just be sure to air out the room before going back in it. Since that time of Sir Humphry Davy's, scientists and businesses have learned how to use it to clean water for cities and towns and disinfect tools in food processing plants. They've sprayed it on vegetables to stop fungal growth. They clean medical equipment with it and disinfect things like cans for food and bags for blood storage. It is also helpful to know that these things that they used to spray with chlorine dioxide are not washed off after putting it on, because it is safe for humans. In the 1980s, NASA used it as a potential medicine for astronauts, and at that time, it was referred to as the universal antidote. In the 1960s through the 1980s, there were several EPA-approved uses for chlorine dioxide for the above things. They even found that it was safer around humans than sodium hypochlorite, the main ingredient in many city water systems, and the main ingredient in Clorox bleach. Sodium hypochlorite, again, Clorox bleach chemical, is still used in many drinking water systems, even though it produces cancerous byproducts, which again are called trihalomethanes. Chlorine dioxide does not produce this or any cancerous byproducts. It actually removes the taste of contaminants in water, so it tastes better. The CDC even has a registered product that uses chlorine dioxide as a disinfectant against viruses like Ebola. It's called Procure the Fifth, or Procure V, as it is called, and it kills the Ebola virus within seconds. I have a link to a document on that. Now, I'm going to introduce the modern-day discoverer of chlorine dioxide as a health medicine. He is a man named Jim Humble. I mentioned some of his work in Chapter 1. In 1996, he was doing some work on a gold mine in the country of Guyana, South America. He worked as a prospector who had invented a system for separating gold from other materials in the mining industry, and he had partnered with a group to do some mining in that area. He was deep in the jungle area with his crew of workers when two of them got very sick with what they believed was the disease known as malaria. He didn't have any malaria medicine, but he did have something that he used to purify his drinking water that was called stabilized oxygen. This product is also sold in health food stores as something that gives people a boost of energy. The main ingredient in stabilized oxygen is, of all things, sodium chlorite, or NaClO2. Anyway, he gave a dose to those two men and hoped they could at least get a boost of energy to help them to get to a hospital that was almost 2 days away with travel. Instead, the two men were feeling much better within 4 hours. They felt good enough to eat their dinner and go back to work shortly. His story is shown in this video that's linked in the PDF version of this book. From this discovery, Humble knew that he found something important and special. He spent the next few years learning about how sodium chlorite helped these sick men get better. He concluded that when they took NaClO2, which is sodium chloride in the water, or in the drink he gave them, it mixed with the acid in their stomach, which activated it and made what we now know as chlorine dioxide. This new material then killed off the cause of their sickness inside of their bodies. The acid in the stomach is called hydrochloric acid, or HCl. When he realized this, he created a way to make ClO2 in a cup and then dilute it with water and then drink it. He also named it the Master Mineral Supplement, but other names like Miracle Mineral Solution were used by the people who were treated with it. In the end, the easiest title to remember was simply MMS, which is what many still refer to it when they talk or write about it using ClO2 or chlorine dioxide. Humble's next goal was to try and help more and more people recover from malaria. He knew that this was the biggest killer of people in the history of the world, and the children were the ones who died the most. He spent the next 25 years learning, teaching, and treating people with their sicknesses, and he has written several books on how to do it. Medicine, the simple and cheap versus the expensive and complex. When Jim Humble started trying to help people test out this new chemical compound, he made sure to test it on himself first. These are the kinds of tests and variations that he ran as he learned and practiced with early mixtures of ClO2 to see what worked best for drinking it or taking it. And then this is a list of bullet points of what he tested. High and low dosages with different potencies and activator acids. Short and long time periods between dosages, sometimes 1 hour. 1 hour is now the standard amount of time between dosages. Mixing it with various drinks, not from concentrate or no ascorbic acid is best. Testing it while taking vitamins, antioxidants, and supplements, and he found that they all reduced the potency. Testing how coffee and alcohol affected potency, he says that they reduced the potency of chlorine dioxide. Testing if certain foods affected potency, and he found that milk products reduced its potency, as well as coconut water. He would try different acid activators to see which ones might work better, and he found that hydrochloric acid seemed to be the favorite. And taking it intravenously through an IV drip, through a needle. Now, I put a note here in a box. Note, this doesn't mean that you can't eat or drink these above things in the bullet points while taking chlorine dioxide. It just means that these items will neutralize the chlorine dioxide's ability to work effectively in you, or if you take them within a couple of hours before or after taking the chlorine dioxide. I'll cover this point again about what neutralizes or what weakens chlorine dioxide later in this book. Mr. Humble almost never let anyone take a dosage for themselves unless he had tested it on himself. His books outline his experiences and how he spent a lot of time in Africa distributing and teaching about chlorine dioxide to local pastors and clinics. He also spent a good deal of time contacting philanthropists and other wealthy people about what he had discovered. He specifically wrote to Oprah Winfrey and Bill Gates multiple times in the early 2000s. He asked if they would give him funds to help his cause. In his book, he states that things never seemed to work out with the wealthy philanthropists. For some reason or other, things would always tend to fall through, or they would just say no. Mr. Gates told Humble that if he could get his chemical compound FDA approved, Gates would fund him to take it to the world. However, when Jim looked up the cost to get any new drug approved with the FDA, it was a cost of tens of millions of dollars, and more likely up to over $100 million. In the end, he wound up funding his own travel and work in Africa. He actually had to pay a contact friend of his $40 in the country of Malawi to even try the sodium chloride mix with some people that had been infected. His contact accepted the money, gave the people the dosages, and his trial patients there recovered from malaria within about a day or less. Over these first years, he was able to help most people fully recover from malaria in Africa. Then, through more testing and tweaking of the mix, he got to the point where 100% of the infected people recovered. This was great news, and the people there were very excited to have him teach what he was doing and try this chemical compound. Interestingly, he also started getting reports back from people that he had taught about how to use chlorine dioxide. They said that the individuals who were taking it were finding that other diseases and health problems and sores were also getting better while taking it. As he looked into why this was happening, he learned that the process of killing the malaria virus could be doing the same thing to other harmful pathogens in the body, which was helping people to get better from sickness. By the way, a pathogen is any virus, bacteria, fungus, or parasite that fights against the host that they can live in. There are several books and studies on this process, so we won't go over it here. I also have several papers and studies on this topic that are available upon request and also linked to this book. All of this wonderful news and attention started getting back to the local African government leaders and the suppliers, and that is the pharmaceutical suppliers, of medicine to those people. This turned out to be bad for Humble's work, because the governments fined him for practicing medicine without a medical license. Even though he had now treated thousands of people successfully, this didn't matter. He later learned that the government usually has a strong relationship with pharmaceutical companies and receive a lot of benefits from these companies as they buy the drugs and are in their own countries. The benefits include taxes collected for the sales, grants from the pharmaceutical companies, grants from international groups, and even bribes for allowing products to be placed in their country. Again, these are all a part of another topic for a different book. In addition to the government difficulty, the local clinic nurses and doctors told Humble that they were not allowed to use his product because the pharmaceutical suppliers threatened to stop sending any more of their medicine to them if they continued using ClO2 with the locals. This was the beginning of a long string of experiences that he learned about governments and pharmaceutical companies. His lesson learned was this: governments and pharmaceutical companies tend to avoid simple, inexpensive, and easy solutions to the problems of disease. They flourish on complex, expensive, and difficult solutions to health care. Of course, keep in mind that chlorine dioxide is a completely different approach to medicine compared to pharmaceutical treatments. It is so simple and inexpensive that it is difficult to believe. If you are a brilliant medical doctor who spent 8 to 12 years of preparation just to be able to prescribe medicine, something like this just sounds like a fraud. For the most part, I don't blame these people for feeling that way. Change is hard. However, I write this book to encourage people to take a closer look at this simple system and understand for themselves what it does. Even today, over two decades after Jim Humble's start in Africa, the CDC states that, quote, no antimalarial drug is 100% effective, unquote. Their website shows six different medicines that could be taken with several pages of possible side effects from those drugs. Lots of side effects, and it takes a lot longer time to recover with these drugs. You can contrast with the people each year who take chlorine dioxide or ClO2 and demonstrate that they are symptom-free in about 4 hours or a little more. This is quite the paradox that goes on about truth. I see this paradox every time I watch the news about pandemics going on around the world. The molecular makeup of chlorine dioxide is pretty simple. It's just three atoms, as shown in the above picture on this page or the page before. Two are oxygen and one is chlorine, and they are temporarily bonded together until they separate at some future time. Now, I'm going to bust out with some molecular jargon here to explain some things that about ClO2 and how it interacts with parts in the body. It's not that important to understand if you aren't a biochemist or biophysicist nerd, but it's good to include it in this book. I only put the next 6 or 7 paragraphs in the book for these science geeks. I guess I'm a geek too, since I spent the last 5 months in preparing this chapter, studying this so that I could include it here. Let's get molecular. ClO2 working in the body using electron oxidation. Scientists call this bond an unstable bond, or negatively charged ion. That's the chlorine dioxide bond of the 3 atoms. When this bond of atoms separates, it creates a very tiny subatomic pulse of energy. This pulse happens when chlorine dioxide gets around pathogens in the body. If you are some kind of virus, bacteria, fungus, or parasite that is attacking the human body, you will be afraid of this subatomic pulse because it is actually an explosion that only goes off when it approaches you. See my wonderful artist's rendition of the explosion here on this little picture on this page. CD molecules, or chlorine dioxide molecules, are kind of a target-seeking missile that can travel safely in your bloodstream and only blows up when it hits its target. Don't worry, though. The explosion doesn't hurt the rest of the healthy tissues and parts of the body. It only attacks the acidic or anaerobic microbes in the body, what I call the bad guys. All of your healthy cells that need oxygen to live or are alkaline are safe. It just passes them by. Here is a short video of how ClO2 attacks a yeast cell in the body. There's a link there to that. Yeasts are generally acidic, and they wreak havoc in the mouth and other parts of the body. As chlorine dioxide attacks pathogens, it is a 2-step process that happens in a fraction of a second. First, the ClO2 pulls a single electron from the pathogen molecular wall. This action is called electron oxidation. That is what negatively charged molecules do. When this electron arrives at the chlorine dioxide molecule, it modifies the chlorine atom into something called chlorite, or ClO2 and then a negative sign. And it instantly becomes much stronger, which starts the second step. At this second step, the strengthened chlorite is able to pull 4 more electrons from the molecular wall of the pathogen. At this point, the ClO2 negative becomes what is called chloride, or Cl negative, because of the 4 new electrons. This pulling of the 5 electrons literally weakens and then tears the pathogen wall apart and starts to disintegrate the wall. It also allows more ClO2 molecules to enter inside the pathogens and cause destruction there too. When bad bacteria, mold, or parasites start having their walls shredded, they die, and their dead parts need to be flushed out of the human body. Now, keep in mind that was for the bacteria and the fungus side of the pathogens. Now I'm going to talk about what ClO2 does to viruses. With viruses, the reaction is a little different, but it still has the same effect. The ClO2 damages the area of the virus's outer protein wall, called the capsids, in a way that it cannot reproduce more viruses. It has also been found to do damage to the amino acids in the spires along the outside of the virus. After the ClO2 has attacked the virus, it goes on living, the virus does, for a short period of time, but it is unable to reproduce, and it dies with no more posterity to spread its destruction. When these pathogenic microbes die, they also leave a tiny mess of pathogen body parts for your digestive system to flush out. This is a good thing, but sometimes it makes you have a little trouble with your stomach and your limbs because your body is detoxing the microbes. This is also known as a Herxheimer response. Here are a few videos from my channel that demonstrate this process of the Herxheimer response. Some are in English and some are in Spanish. So I've got 3 videos there. Post-explosion. The shrapnel is the second wave of attack on toxins. Another beneficial thing that happens on the molecular level could be considered a second punch to pathogens and disease. After the chlorine dioxide molecule explodes and separates, the leftover shrapnel from the exploded ClO2 molecule is two oxygen atoms and a single chlorine atom. Remember, ClO2 starts out as three atoms bonded together and is not three separate atoms. The chlorine atom is now separate and floating around in your body system in a form that is called chloride. This may not stay there for long, though. The chloride atom has an atomic characteristic that makes it so that it can easily bond with many other atoms or molecules. The most common and likely bond will be with sodium, which is Na. When it bonds with sodium, it becomes sodium chloride, NaCl. This is also known as table salt. When a person drinks 1 to 3 drops of chlorine dioxide with water, and it separates to chlorine and oxygen atoms, it can end up bonding with Na and making about the equivalent of a few grains of salt in your body, which just gets flushed out. It's harmless. Another way that your body uses chlorine dioxide is to make something called hypochlorous acid. This acid is super awesome stuff. Hypochlorous acid is also made by white blood cells in the body and is the best infection fighter that your body produces. It is very potent, and I talk more about this later in the book in the section on the Protocol 2000. You can also look up hypochlorous acid online, which I have a link to there. It is good stuff to have in you. Additionally, some other final benefits of this chlorine material are as follows, in that it helps with the process called the Krebs cycle. And there are 3 bullet points here. One is one of the most important electrolytes in your blood, that's chloride. It helps to keep the amount of fluid inside and outside of the cell in balance. And it helps to maintain proper blood volume, blood pressure, and pH in our body fluids. The 2 atoms of oxygen, on the other hand, will join with the blood cells in the body and oxygenate them the same way that the cells get oxygenated from your lungs. Here's a video that demonstrates ClO2 meeting up with blood cells that are lacking oxygen. They get quickly charged with the oxygen and then carry it to the various parts of the body to be used, specifically at the area where the chlorine dioxide was oxidized and separated. So what does this extra oxygen do that is absorbed into your blood cells? Well, think of it as giving the system of your body a boost. You can look up the benefits of what it does from various websites. I'll just leave a list of the basics here. I have several bullet points here. One is that oxygen is the key element that gives your cells energy. Cells need it to convert their food into energy that you can use, also known as the Krebs cycle, which I listed before. The end result, you have more energy. Second bullet point is that it makes exercise easier. Next bullet point, you recover faster from muscle workouts. There's less stiffness. Next bullet point says your brain becomes more alert and clear. The next one is that infections heal faster. You have more restful sleep. Wounds and tissue damage heal faster. You recover better from carbon monoxide poisoning, and it slows and reverses the growth of cancers. Now, we're done with the bullet points here. The medical industry uses various methods to get oxygen into people's systems because of these benefits. One commonly used method is with something called a hyperbaric chamber, or a small airtight room that you can lay down or sit in, and then it pumps high levels of oxygen in for you to breathe and absorb. These things cost between $20,000 and $100,000 to purchase, the hyperbaric chambers, and between $5,000 to $15,000 to use per year. If you contrast this with someone taking a dose of chlorine dioxide, which costs about 1 cent worth of material per dose, you can get a similar or better response. It is basically drinking a liquid that turns to an oxygen in your blood and then exits your body as carbon dioxide as you exhale. Here are 2 videos that show actual people drinking chlorine dioxide and seeing how their blood oxygen levels increase within minutes. There's two links here, video one and video two. Video one was especially a big deal because the woman was very sick with COVID-19, and the oxygen levels could have caused her to spiral further into other parts of her body shutting down. Lastly, just to complete this molecular section of ClO2, let me show you some of the numbers that have been researched about molecule counts. If a person takes a common 3-drop dose of ClO2, which comes to about 25 parts per million of the molecule in a 4-ounce cup of diluted water with the drops, it will give your bloodstream the upwards of about 216,500,000 ClO2 molecules per blood cell. That's per blood cell. Okay, 216,500,000 ClO2 molecules per blood cell. That's the count ratio to work with. I got these numbers from Dr. Andreas Kalker, the German biophysicist who collaborated with a chemistry professor to calculate the ratio of ClO2 molecules per blood cell in the average human body. If my numbers and interpretation are a little off here, I will modify them in the future editions of my book. So far, I haven't found anything different. Overall, I can't say enough about the benefits of added oxygen in the system, which is used to metabolize. In all, using chlorine dioxide for internal health is kind of like taking a bunch of tiny ClO2 grenades and throwing them at pathogens, that is viruses, bacteria, fungus, and parasites, in your body and destroying them. How many tiny grenades are in a 3-drop dose? Approximately 5.4E to the 24th, which comes out to be 54000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 5.4 septillion. That's a lot of firepower. Okay, let's move on. Then, after these CLO2 molecules have exploded into simpler atoms like oxygen and chlorine, your body picks up the shrapnel, which is what those are, from that exploded grenade, making smaller grenades out of those bits. These are the leftover oxygen and chlorine atoms. Your body then uses both of these to fight infections and disease, and to help your tissues recover faster from other damage with the oxygen. This 1-2 punch from CLO2 is very powerful, yet it leaves no residue or unused waste behind. And all of this comes when you put three simple atoms together in your body system. Well, it's actually 5.4 septillion of them in a 3-drop dose of chlorine dioxide. Doctors and scientists are pretty amazed about how powerful this is. That is why there are thousands of patents on the use of chlorine dioxide in industries like food, medicine, disinfectant, drinking water purification, and even cleaning. In the correct diluted mixture, it is safe to put on our food, city water, supplies for our homes, on our skin, and even in our bodies. Just make sure that you have the correct mixture with water, not too high a dosage. Some people say that CLO2 is toxic to the human body. They are only telling part of the truth with this. This is only true in the same way that water is toxic, salt is toxic, root beer is toxic, and even barbecue sauce is toxic. So the key is understanding how much of each of these things is healthy to take in your body. I'll spend much of this book showing what healthy levels are of chlorine dioxide, and go easy on the barbecue sauce. It could kill you. So again, I'm just summarizing. I mean, if you take too much salt, it could be something that kills you. If you take too much root beer, if you drink too much root beer or barbecue sauce, it will kill you because of the levels. And that's the same with chlorine dioxide. Just understand there is a safe level that you can take that also helps to clear up pathogens and other issues in your body, which makes you to heal faster. CLO2 breaks down glyphosate, pesticides, heavy metals, and other toxic materials in the body. In general, it has been shown scientifically that chlorine dioxide will break down heavy metal that can get lodged in the body. This is because it has a higher oxidative potential than they do, and it dissolves them little by little. Glyphosate is also known as the chemical pesticide called Roundup. Roundup is the most used agricultural chemical product in the world and throughout history. And it is a mild antibiotic which kills weeds. Residues of glyphosate have been found in our bodies and in almost every kind of food that we eat where the pesticides was used for the crops to make food. The thing about glyphosate is that it does not break down on its own. If it gets in the soil, in our public water systems, it just stays there until it can enter somewhere that's not safe or not good for us. I have made 2 long and detailed videos talking about this issue and how chlorine dioxide actually breaks down the glyphosate residues that are in us and causes damage to our body system. See these links below on this page. I'm on page 30, by the way. It is cheaper than cookies to make at home. Talking about chlorine dioxide. ClO2 is also very inexpensive to make if you buy the materials and measurement tools yourself. I have a video below that shows that it costs about $1.50 to $2 to make an ounce of MMS and the acid activator liquid. In my personal calculations, this comes out to be about 1 cent for each 3-drop dose of it. The single ounce in that you can make for that $1.50 to $2 is enough to last a person for anywhere from 1 to 3 months of preventative medicine use and enough to purify drinking water. Additionally, if you spend about $100 to buy the materials and a few mixing tools, you can produce about 25 years worth of ClO2 in your home for personal use. And I've got 2 videos, links to where I demonstrate how this is done, and a little bit of the math. For a longer and more scientific and kind of boring video on chlorine dioxide, see the below link, which I also made the video. Chlorine dioxide and the Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA. Over the years, the sale and use of ClO2 in the United States has been regularly under scrutiny and attack by the Food and Drug Administration in the United States. On their website, they give harsh warnings about how dangerous it is. They don't provide any scientific data to back up their claims of danger, though. They also do not acknowledge anyone's testimonial about using it as a treatment for disease, and they call it misleading claims. On top of that, the FDA site says, quote, "The FDA is not aware of any scientific evidence to support the safety or efficacy of MMS, despite claims to the effect that the solution is antimicrobial, antiviral, and antibacterial," end of quote. This means that they have no idea if it is even safe or effective. They also imply that chlorine dioxide is claimed to be a antimicrobial, antiviral, and antibacterial. Now this seems strange to me that a group that works so closely with scientists and medical professionals that they are not aware of the science of chlorine dioxide's safety or efficacy. In fact, if you go to the online patent site, like google.patents.com, you can look up the following query words of what has been approved as the patented process or product. This is usually filled out by pharmaceutical companies or scientists so that they can put a legal boundary over a process or product. They can own it. That main reason is so that they can make money off of their concept. By the way, it costs up to $30,000 to get a process or a product patented. So here I have the patents.google.com lookup list that I made. When I typed in chlorine dioxide FDA, I got 21,929 results. Chlorine dioxide medical, those keywords, I got 218,428 results. Chlorine dioxide antimicrobial, I typed that in and I got 114,125 results. Chlorine dioxide antiviral, and I got 41,895 results. And then I typed in chlorine dioxide antibacterial, and I got 130,515 results. So all of these are related to patents that were for, you know, medical, antimicrobial, antiviral, antibacterial, and even the FDA. But they say they know nothing about this MMS chlorine dioxide stuff. I also invite anyone to take some time to browse these patents. Try to get a feel for who is filing them, what they are used for, and even ask yourself, is this process or product something that will come in contact with humans or be used inside of our bodies? There are thousands of approved uses of chlorine dioxide that will be taken both on and inside of the body. I have also a short list of patents that I have collected about chlorine dioxide that I will share below with these links. These are patent titles with the links. The first one is used to treat tumors, which are inside the body. So you could look up that patent on that link. The next one is treating dysentery, which, as far as I know, is inside the body. The next patent is treating cancer, also inside the body. Treating ALS is another patent inside the body. Treating sinusitis, which is inside the body. Treating vaginal itching, which is inside the body. Now, these links to the patents, these patents were not filed by alternate medicine groups or individuals that simply want to explore science for fun. They're not filed by these groups for that reason. These are done by pharmaceutical companies like Vortec Inc., Synox Pharma, and Frontier Pharmaceutical Inc. These companies are clearly getting these patents for the money, and they know that chlorine dioxide can do, or what it can do, to help their bottom lines. Yet, the FDA claims to be, quote, not aware, unquote, of any of this. Oh, my short answer to the FDA website warnings is that they are not stupid and they're not ignorant. They're actually very savvy in trying to scare people about chlorine dioxide. However, I don't think that they are being very honest when they say that it is not safe. They are trying to corral people away from chlorine dioxide, while others can profit on the benefits of what it can do. In this case, the others are the pharmaceutical companies. It is also possible for big companies to create a patent or buy one from somebody who's created one, just so that they can hide it, so that the people don't know that there is a better and cheaper way to use something good. This is also common. Now, why would a government oversight agency warn the public with such strong words like they do to scare everyone else away? I will give you some more of my short answer on this. Over the past 40 years, 9 of the past 10 FDA commissioners have gone to work for pharmaceutical companies after serving their time as directors. And that's, I have a link that goes to an article that points this out. For those who have researched this problem, it is common knowledge that there is an incestuous relationship between the two leadership groups, the pharmaceutical groups and the FDA leadership. The key elements of this relationship are money, product approval for marketing medicine, and making it illegal for others outside of pharmaceutical companies to give inexpensive solutions to health problems. This is not a good thing, considering that the FDA is supposed to have oversight over the $1.25 trillion industry and its ability to promote and sell pharmaceutical drugs. It is even worse to actively tell people or the public to stay away from a mineral salt product that is safe if used correctly. It's inexpensive and even more effective than many pharmaceutical drugs that are available. In my opinion, they are trading money for lives and the quality of life. As a consolation, it still makes me feel good to know that chlorine dioxide works. Whether you pay $13,000 through your insurance for cancer treatments with chlorine dioxide, or take 50 cents worth of that same amount of chlorine dioxide to take the Protocol 2000, your health will improve. You just have to decide which route works best for you. By the way, the Protocol 2000 will be shown in a future chapter in this book. Anyway, I went through all of the above to explain why you can't buy chlorine dioxide in the United States as a medicine. It is illegal to sell it with that label. Several years ago, the above groups paid several professional lobbyists to change the laws in the United States and several other countries so that it is now illegal to sell chlorine dioxide as a medical treatment. It has also been explained to me that it is also illegal to sell bottled water as a cure for thirst as well. So don't sell either one as a treatment or cure for anything. You could get in trouble with the FDA. And although they are not, quote, aware of any specific evidence to support, unquote, chlorine dioxide, they are aware of how to prosecute someone who is selling it as a medicine online. On the upside, you can buy chlorine dioxide as a water purification kit on Amazon.com, on eBay.com, and at individual websites that sell this. Fortunately, if you are shopping and find someone selling HCl, which is hydrochloric acid, at levels that are about 4 to 5% in bottles, and alongside with that, the NaClO2, which is sodium chloride, with levels between about 22 and 29%, you could use these two bottles together as a medical treatment. However, you would be doing it at your own risk. You may inadvertently heal from things like malaria or a sinus infection. So, buyer beware. How to activate a single drop of MMS, which is activating NaClO2 or sodium chloride. Before actually getting into the details of using chlorine dioxide, which is in the next chapter, it is a good time to walk through what it takes to actually activate a bit of sodium chloride so that the reader can read and view how it's done. Learning how to do the activation process is the literal groundwork for most of the other parts of this book, and the instruments and sequence are both easy yet critical to understand. If you're going to make a single drop of chlorine dioxide, you will need the sodium chloride, NaClO2, to be in liquid at somewhere between 22 to 29% diluted with water. The other liquid to mix is an activator acid. Typically, this will be hydrochloric acid that's between 4 to 5% diluted with water. If the percentages are within the above numbers, it should give you the desired results. I typically label each of the liquids either A or B on each bottle to keep them separate and distinguished. In my labeling, the A stands for the NaClO2, which is the sodium chloride. Sometimes you look online and the A bottle is the MMS bottle. And the B represents the acid or the activator bottle, like hydrochloric acid or HCl. How people label the A and the B is not as important, as long as you are consistent. But I found that more commonly the A is the NaClO2 and the B is the activator. Now, let's assume that I am using a bottle of liquid HCl, which is at 4% acid, for my B mix, and the bottle of liquid NaClO2 at 22.4% for my A mix. Making the two parts, put one drop of either A or B mix in a dry glass cup or a coffee mug. Then put a drop from the other bottle right on top of the first drop. In other words, you're mixing an A and the B mix in equal drop sizes. You can start with the A or the B bottle. It doesn't make any difference. Then you wait between 20 to 30 seconds while the two liquids mix. You can sometimes shake the cup a little to help with the mixing while you wait. You will see that the two drops in the cup will turn a yellowish amber color. It will also give off a strong smell like chlorine. This smell is literally the gas made up of one chlorine atom and two oxygen atoms in a compound, along with a little bit of hydrogen there. Don't worry, this color change and smell are a sign that the chemical reaction is working correctly. It is not dangerous, but it is strong, and you shouldn't inhale it unless you know exactly what you are doing for a specific treatment. After 20 to 30 seconds, add 4 ounces of water, about 120 milliliters, to the drops that are in the cup. When you add the water, it does two important things. First, it dilutes the chlorine dioxide to an amount that is safe to be ingested. Don't ever drink the drops before diluting it with water. That potency is very strong for the throat, and you may start dry heaving it up, like those cinnamon challenge videos. I have a link there for fun. Secondly, it slows down the chemical reaction so that the ClO2 does not gas off too quickly into the air. After the water is added, the liquid should have a little bit of a yellow tint and a slight chlorine smell. This is what we call a one-drop mix of activated sodium chloride, or MMS, activated MMS, or we sometimes call it just chlorine dioxide. If you were to test this liquid, it would show up about 8 to 10 parts per million of chlorine dioxide while it's in the 4 ounces of the water content while it's mixed. It is also the exact same process by which municipal cities treat their water to clean when they use ClO2. Below is a video demonstration of how to activate a single drop of NaClO2, which is sodium chloride, by mixing it with an acid to make chlorine dioxide, or CD.